serve one that cares. Cares about all we face and all we go through in our lives and in our hearts. Oh, I appreciate that today. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to go again to 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, the first chapter. I want to go back there again and try to look at some things. As a matter of fact, I want to try to finish that which I began last week. I really didn't get it all in. That was on my heart. And I want to try to look at it and try to share with you one more thing that Peter was telling them. That I want us to consider today. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, starting in the first verse, Peter writes and he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is the four verses that I read last week, and I wanted to read them again to refresh our minds and our thinking. Last week I began looking at thinking at what Peter wrote to them as first century Christians, considering how they ought to live facing the difficult times and the days in which they lived. Peter realized, as I mentioned last week, he realized that his earthly life, his ministry, was coming to a close. So he writes to them, saying these things like, you know, I realize I'm about finished with my work, but before the Lord calls me home, I want to tell you this. I want to remind you of this. And I want to refresh your thoughts about this. That is that how Peter seemed to be writing. He is giving to them his heart. sharing with Him the challenge of some things that I looked at last week, some things that we'll not forget. I talked about three things I mentioned last week that we don't need to forget where He found us, that we need to remember that. And then we don't need to forget who we are. Then Peter seemed to remind them in the first verse that they don't need to forget who they serve with, reminding them that they all stand level at the foot of the cross. But there was a last thought that I wanted to give you. And at first I thought, well, I'll just skip that one and let it go and move on to the next section. But the Lord would let me begin to continue to work in my heart. You see, as I was saying, Peter wants them to know some things about how to live in those days. He was writing as an older saint of God with these things that's in his heart. So Peter tells them that I want you to know these things and to remember these things. We are, let me just say this, and I'll move on, that we are living in a society that has the idea that its elderly has little purpose or usefulness. We are seeing a time that they are just saying to a lot of the older people in life that you really have no purpose to add to society. So there's even a lot of people have the idea that they ought to be just done away when they're sick, when they have long-term diseases. There's some that even have the idea of euthanizing, getting rid of the elderly in our day. But I want to say to you that the elderly still have a purpose. They still have a usefulness to a younger generation. I remember when I was probably about 12 or 13, I remember my dad telling me one time, he said, Tony, you ought to go down to Papa Tyson's house and just spend some time with him. And back then, we lived just up the road from Papa, and he lived down the dirt road. And I remember going down, sitting with him, watching television. I can still remember just listening to what he had to say. remember he and I would sit in front of that black and white TV ad with them old rabbit ears sticking out on top. And we'd watch Amos and Andy. And he'd laugh and slap his knee watching that old TV show. Well, you can't watch that stuff anymore. They don't like it watching that kind of programming. But I remember that. I didn't think a whole lot about it till Papa got died and went home to be the Lord. And I got older and I realized how important what Daddy told me was. Just to sit and listen to an old gentleman talk about life. Talk about loving his wife. I remember, and I'm going on, but I remember him telling me. He said, "Tony, Tom Haldison has been with the Lord some 7 years. But he said, you know, I miss her as much today as I missed her the day she died. It taught me a lot about love, about respect, about honor. I want to tell you, I thank God for gray heads. Thank God for older folk that God's put around us. And we ought to realize their value in our society. One of these days, they'll be gone. And we'll take their places. And we'll want a young generation to listen to what we say. I don't know why the Lord put that in my heart to share. But I thank God for our older folk. I appreciate them. Thank God for them. Oh, it's good just to hear what they have to say in life. But I want to just share, that seemed to be the heart of Peter. So Peter is writing some things he wants them to remember when he's gone. When he's gone. So we talked about those things. But there is that fourth thing that I'm going to give you. Peter is saying to them, don't forget how you make it in life. Don't forget how you make it in life. He says in verse number 2, Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Peter writes to tell them first about his desire that grace and peace, that it would be multiplied unto them, that they would have more and more of the grace and the peace of God. John Phillips says this about what Peter says. He said, grace is God's provision for our every need while we live here in enemy territory. Then he went on to say that peace is God's provision for our inner needs. Peter was saying, I want you to know this. Keep it in mind. Don't ever forget it. That you need the grace and the peace of God to make it through this life. And as a matter of fact, you need it multiplied to you. Peter is saying, we can't face a single day without the grace and the peace of God. Being talking, texting with Randy quite a bit. And we were texting the other day. Randy made the statement. He said, I can get through all that we're dealing with without the strength and the help of the Lord. He is talking about what Holly is dealing with and how it breaks his heart and troubles his heart. But he said, I couldn't do it without the strength and the help of the Lord. I want to tell you, you and I can't either. And that's what I told him. I said, there's not a single one of us can make it without him, without his help. It's the grace of God that helps us through the trials, the troubles, the heartaches, the sorrows of life. And it's the peace of God that gives us that inner strength and inner comfort. I want to tell you, we have talked about it so much, about all that people in our church family are dealing with. Just about the time somebody tells me, take my name off the list, that I'm doing better. Seems like somebody else calls and says, would you add this one to the list? I want to tell you, it just seems like so much is happening. But it wasn't for the grace of God and the peace of God, we can handle it and we can deal with it. But Peter says, my desire is that it's multiplied unto you. How is it done that? He said, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How is grace multiplied and peace to our hearts? Peter said, through the knowledge of Him. Now when Peter says knowledge, he isn't talking just about his knowledge. He is talking about intimate heart knowledge of God and Christ. You say, preacher, how? How do you get that intimate closeness and knowledge of Him? By spending time with Him. Read your Bible. Talking to Him. In prayer. I am a stickler for owner's manuals. Anytime I buy something, ask my family, the first thing I do is sit down and read the owner's manual. There are some, maybe, get them and toss them in a drawer, but not me. I get them out, sit, and read them. Sometimes, two or three times, I'll read it. Preacher, why? Because I want to know and understand what I bought, how it runs, how it acts, how it operates, and just what it can do. There are people I have dealt with buying a computer or a tablet, and they'll call me or they'll talk to me, text me, and say, how in the land do you get it to do this? And I'll tell them or show them. They'll say, huh, I didn't realize it'd do all that. I want to tell you, so often I've looked at them and said, read your manual. Read your manual. You'll find out all kinds of things if you'll read the manual. Can I just tell you that if you'll just read the manual, you'll find out all kinds of things about the Lord and what He's doing in your life. There are those that have a Bible, but they never, ever pick it up except to carry it to church. I want to tell you, you ought to read it. See what it says. Speaks to your heart. He tells them, you'll get peace and get grace through the knowledge of Him. But He tells them, there is more help. Look at verse 3. He says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And then He says it again, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Peter says, there is power available for you to live in this world. Power to face life. Power to live right. That's what He means when He says life and godliness. God's got power to help you face life, to face its burdens, trials, troubles, sorrows, and heartaches. But He helps that you can live right in a wrong world. This world is in a mess morally. It's in a mess socially. It's in a mess racially. It is in a mess politically. But God will help you to know how to live right if you'll look to Him. He said that He hath given to us according to His divine power all that we'll need that pertains to life and godliness. God's given it to us. God has graciously given to us all that we need. Paul said it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. He said, "For in Him," talking about Christ, "in Him dwelleth all the fullness of God, and ye are complete in Him." God's given us in Christ all we'll need for this life. To be victorious. To be victorious. Nicholas taught it a while ago that we're in flesh. We still sin. We still fail the Lord. But that isn't how God desires us to carry on life. He doesn't desire our life to be one of constant defeat in sin. So He's given us in Christ help, strength to live godly in this life, to live right. We still, on occasion, will fail. But that'll not be the normal in our life. When He's given us power to live victorious. But there's another thing. Verse 4. He says, "Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." He says that through this knowledge, by grace, and with peace in our hearts, God, He said, "Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises." The Word of God, page after page, chapter after chapter, book after book, gives us promises, help to live right in this world. God has given us promises linked to His name. Promises found in the epistles. Promises in all the Word of God. But our problem today is so often we focus more on our problems than we do on the promises. Adam said it Wednesday night. I was at home and wasn't able to be here. But Adam said it. I heard him say it. He said that we make our problems bigger and we'll make our God smaller. That's exactly right. But God has given us promises to remind us how great He is, how big He is, how strong He is. And one of those things is that we are partakers of the divine nature. There's a lot I can say about that. Simply put, when you and I got saved, The Holy Spirit came in to live. And He has made us a partaker of the divine nature. I still have the old flesh that I deal with. But there's a spiritual nature that's within that wants to control my life. Somebody said one time, how do you get victory with two natures on the inside? Their answer was this: every which one that you feed is the one that'll be the strongest. Starve the old flesh. Feed the spiritual hand. And the spiritual side of you will grow stronger than the old fleshly nature that's within. Peter said, don't forget those things. Don't forget that God has given you some tremendous things. That God has given you grace and peace through the knowledge of Christ. That God has given you some promises to cling to. That God has given you power within to live victorious. But again, He says it comes through the knowledge of Him. There are some Christians that seem to be satisfied with just a simple knowledge. There are some people call themselves Christians that say, hey, preacher, yes, I'm saved. But I said it a while ago, their Bible isn't important. Praying isn't important. The house of God isn't important. I'm closing, but let me just share this. I've been thinking a whole lot lately about this pandemic. I've been thinking a lot about how that I'm so thankful that we're able to come back in and worship. And I know we're cautious about how we do it. That we wear masks and distance and those things. I understand that. But I've been thinking a whole lot about it. And here's my fear as your pastor. I'm afraid that we have some people that we may not get back. I'm afraid that there are people that before the pandemic came that we may not get back. Understand that there are some that are still being cautious. Understand that. And I say to them that they'll come back when they feel comfortable, feel safe, feel ready. And I believe that. But I'm afraid there's some that we may never get back because they've got used to not being here. that place for it. You may not have thought any about that. It's been on my heart a lot. That there may be some never come back. Hopefully they will. I pray that they will. I ask God to touch their hearts. Draw them to Him. But they may not. But I want to tell you today, and those that are listening, God has provided some things to help us in this life. The promises, the power, the Word of God, prayer, the house of the Lord, worshiping, fellowshipping. And I know we're still bumping fists or arms and those kinds of things. But it's such a blessing just to be in the family, to see your face, to be able to fellowship. That's going to help you as this world gets darker and darker. Peter said, I'm about finished with my work. But you're going to carry on. Don't forget these things. They're going to be what helps you. Pressing onward till Jesus comes. That's the message for today. I don't know where the Lord will lead me next. I've been looking at some more of these verses. Especially in this first chapter that Peter is telling them. Peter talks about falling. Talks about falling down in these verses. And I thought, who greater a person to challenge Christians to be careful lest they fall than one who fell. There's some truths here that maybe the Lord will let me share with you. He's been helping me, touching my heart. I wanted to get a song and play on the instruments. I don't know how to give an invitation to this. But other than these two things, first of all, do you know that you're one of His? Do you know you're saved? Do you know if the Lord called you home today, that heaven would be your home? This world has gotten so dangerous, so dark. I read the names of the 8 people killed in Indianapolis. The youngest was 19. 2 of them were 19. The oldest one was, I think, 74. Then the others in between that. You don't have to be old to leave this world. Thought about down in Rock Hill, that doctor and those kids suddenly taken out. Don't have to be old to leave this world. Are you ready? Are you ready? But then secondly, is there a need as a Christian you have. It may be that there's something in your heart you need to just give to the Lord today. I want us to stand. I want them to pray. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, this altar's open. Would you come? Would you come?